You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
Family, turn in your Bibles. We're gonna go deep into the New Testament. We're gonna go into 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. This is a big day today. Today is Vision Sunday. We are talking all about this vision that God has given us to see Newton reborn. And I am so stoked that you are here today. Because listen to me. This vision that God has given us, it starts right here. It starts right here. It starts with us and in us and through us. Okay? And so I'm just going to give you a heads up as well. Next week is going to be Vision Sunday, part two. Then the last Sunday in October, we've got something really fun planned before we dive into our At the Movie series in November, okay? But I'm even a little extra excited to talk about the vision today, because last week we just finished up our Secret to Your Dream Life series. And so listen to me, vision in many ways is really about having a dream. Okay, now, when I say dream though, I'm not necessarily talking about some of those weird dreams we all have when we sleep at night. Aren't dreams just so weird sometimes? Right, they can just be so weird, okay? And listen, yes, God will give you and can give you some dreams that are from him from time to time, but those things don't usually happen every night, right? I love pizza. I love it a lot. This is no joke. This is just an example. One time I dreamed, I'm not even kidding, that pizza didn't like me anymore. I'm not even kidding, okay? You know how in dreams you can just find yourself in a situation and you have no idea how you got there and you don't even care to remember? Like you're just in the moment? So I found myself in this kitchen, sitting at this kitchen table, and I didn't even see pizza in the dream. There was no, I just knew that pizza in general, I had heard that pizza didn't want to be my friend anymore. I'm serious. You're like, you have a problem with pizza. But so when I woke up, my heart started to get happy again because I began to realize that pizza has no say in whether or not we have a relationship. I'm in control of my relationship with pizza. Pizza doesn't have feelings. Pizza has flavors. And they are delicious. And so listen, at the same time, you know how some people, they just tend to over-spiritualize everything? You know, so I didn't pray at that point. I did not pray to God and say, God, are you wanting me to not eat pizza anymore because I had this dream? No, because I already know that pizza is a gift from the brick oven in the throne room of God to humanity. Amen? That was just a weird dream. So, listen, when I talk about having a dream, here's what I mean. I'm talking about understanding current reality, but then picturing in your heart and mind what could take place. Okay, I'm talking about picturing and then becoming passionate for how things could change. Listen to me, vision is actually, it's a futuristic thing. It's envisioning what could happen, what could become reality. Now, just hold on though, before we get carried away with that, we do have to keep in mind that we are all sinful. So that means you and I are capable of coming up with visions or dreams for our lives that can be bad, or we could find ourselves chasing after a future reality that God wouldn't even want us to live in, okay? So here's the good news. Jesus Christ can see the past, present, and future all at once. And when you give your life to Jesus, when you start building a relationship with Jesus, he'll then give you a brand new heart. And along the way, he'll keep pouring out new desires in your life. You'll start wanting what he wants, and the future he wants for you is amazing. And so he'll start planting the vision that he has for your future in your heart. He'll start giving you a picture of the life that he wants you to live in. So listen to me. Vision is really all about God's vision for the future. Okay, and so as we've said recently though, God has a dream for your life, okay? But you need to understand, he has also collectively as a church, he has given us one vision together that we are to pursue, okay? And if you call The Gathering home, if you're part of his church here, then that means that God has called you here, and part of his dream for your life is for you to play a significant role in seeing the vision he has for his church come to pass. Okay, so here at the gathering, we set aside some Sundays every year to talk about the vision. Now, we also talk about Newton Reborn every Sunday, right? I mean, if you pay attention, we talk about Newton Reborn in one way or another in every message every Sunday, okay? Because heads up, here's why, and you've heard me say this before, vision leaks. In fact, it doesn't just leak, vision gushes, okay? Meaning that it would be so easy for all of us to lose focus on the vision, to forget details of the vision, to misinterpret the vision, or then even begin to miscommunicate the vision, or even at some point just show up and say, you know what, I don't really like that vision. I think we should have this vision that I got right here. We should do this instead. In the words of Pastor Ed Funderburk, our good friend from Gateway that's been pouring into us, he showed up here over the summer. He says this, vision plus vision equals division. Yeah, so listen, we have to stay focused. We have to stay unified and committed to the vision that God has given us, okay? And listen, if we were not careful to remain focused on the vision that God has given us. Or even just think about this. If we just stop talking about it consistently, if we just stop talking about it on a regular basis, then how many of you are smart enough to understand that we would actually stop seeing the vision come to pass? Yeah, so we would call that vision drift or mission drift, okay? And you need to understand that this happens in churches a lot. Okay, churches are very vulnerable to this. Where this is part of the reason that some churches grow stale and begin to decline and eventually die, because they lose sight of the vision that God had given them in the first place, the very reason they exist. Okay, but I want you to catch this. It's also the same reason that some communities and even entire towns start to grow stale and begin to decline and eventually die, because there's no vision. All right, so do you have your Bibles open to Proverbs? I'm sorry, no. I didn't tell you to turn there. I'm just getting way ahead of myself. I want you to look at Proverbs with me. I'm gonna look at Proverbs 29, 18. Listen, the Bible says something remarkable about vision, okay? And I'm gonna read this out of the KJV, baby. I don't know why I said baby. It's been seeping its way into my vocabulary lately. I need to not do that. All right. Proverbs 29, 18. Check this out. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Listen, where there is no godly vision, where there's no leadership pursuing the future that God has for his people, then the people actually perish. Okay, so with that said, who's grateful for vision from Jesus? Right? And so with that said, come on, help me out. Let's all say our vision together. We're going to put it up on the screen. You guys ready? Here we go. Come on. Newton reborn, a people and their city revived, rebuilt, and renewed by Jesus for his glory. Church family, that's what we want to see happen. That is the future we dream of. And here's what's so cool. We'll talk about this more in just a little bit. It's not just the future. In many ways, it's already starting to become current reality. And here's one more cool thing that I want you to know, okay? Can I brag on you all for just a little bit? Yes, you can. There aren't that many churches out there that have a vision as unique and as comprehensive as this one that God has given us. Meaning this, there are lots of churches, I mean a lot of churches that have vision statements that sound like this. They say, we exist to see people become fully devoted followers of Christ. One more time. We exist to see people become fully devoted followers of Christ. I love that. Okay, we exist for the same reason. At least part of the reason is that, okay? But we just say it a little differently. We say we want to see people become disciples who live saved, changed, and on mission to make more disciples, because that's what a fully devoted follower of Christ is. Okay, so we just defined it. But listen, every time I hear a vision statement like that, these are the questions that begin to pop up in my heart, okay? So number one, how many fully devoted followers of Christ do you want to make? And number two, after they become fully devoted followers of Christ, what is it that you want them to accomplish? In other words, why let the vision stop right there? Because Jesus did not just say, go and make disciples, period. Come on, he said, go and make disciples of all nations. He had a place in mind. And then he even says this, you have a part to play. He said, do your part in teaching these new disciples to obey me, to follow me, to love me, to listen to my commandments. You have a part yourself as a disciple maker. And then one time, he actually gave them a very focused part of the vision. He said, start right here in your city. He told them, start in Jerusalem, then spread out to Judea, your region, then go to the neighboring region, Samaria, and then go to the ends of the earth. Listen to me, so I want to see us make disciples who know how to make disciples, people who live, save, change, and on mission, but I do not want it to stop there together as a result of us living on mission with Jesus. I want us to see Newton reborn, a people in their city revived, rebuilt, and renewed by Jesus for his glory. So that means, listen, we want at least 20,000-ish people to be following Jesus. The population of Newton. We want at least that many to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. And listen, if we're real, then I'll just tell you that our vision is way bigger than that. Okay, as our town gets filled up with more and more fully devoted followers of Jesus, you better believe we're saying can't stop, won't stop until our region is reborn and beyond. We're going to keep going. So I believe that day is coming. Now, at the same time, here's, again, what's so beautiful about Newton Reborn right here and right now. It's not just a future we'll one day get to live in. No, it's already starting to happen. We get to see a people and their city revived, rebuilt, and renewed by Jesus incrementally all along the way. Come on, has that been happening in your life as a result of you hanging out with us together, doing church together? Has God been doing any of that work? And so listen, let me just give you a breakdown of what we really mean when we say those three words, revived, rebuilt, and renewed. Okay, so listen, we want to see the people of our city revived along with the city itself. People in their city revived. In other words, alive like never before. Okay, both the people and the city. In discipleship terms, we would call this salvation. We would call this getting saved. Think about what happens when someone flatlines. They're considered dead, right? But then attempts are made to revive them, to give them life again. We want to see dead things, dead, spiritually dead people and lifeless places and lifeless resources in our town. We want to see them come alive like never before through the life of Jesus. We want to see a people and their city rebuilt. In discipleship terms, we would call this change. Getting changed, or we would say it this way, living free, getting free in Jesus. Whereas we come alive in Jesus, Jesus then continues to make us more and more like him. He takes out the old parts of our lives that are still those that are still dying, those parts that aren't working for him, and he rebuilds in new parts. It's those that new heart, it's those new desires that help us live the life he has for us, okay? And seriously, as for the city, we seriously want to see the buildings and the homes and the neighborhoods that are crumbling get rebuilt. Like that one across the street. We want to remove a poverty cycle in this town. We want to see the stagnant economics that so many families are caught in. We want to see that thing disappear. We want to reverse trends in this city. We want to see divorce rates and crime rates and addiction rates and high school dropout rates decline. We want our city functioning on the mechanics of God's kingdom. And so we want to see the people of our city and the city itself renewed. In discipleship terms, we would say it this way. We want to see the people and the city living on mission. We want to see the people of our city thriving in that dream life, the disciple life, that genuine relationship with Jesus life. And we want to see the city itself and the resources in our city used for the glory of God, to be a blessing to people and then draw them to the heart of God and draw them to the kind of reborn life that only Jesus can give. So church, we want to see this entire city flipped upside down by the life of Jesus and nothing less than that. All right, so I've got just a few points this morning to help us get just a strong grip on this vision today, all right? Here's number one. Listen, Newton Reborn is all about people. Newton Reborn is all about people. Okay, so like a bunch of you, all right, I was born and raised here in Newton. I love our town. But after Rachel and I got married, we ended up living just all over the country for a number of years. Yet all along the way, there was this part of me that was dying to come back to Newton to plant a church. Because here's what would happen. We would come back from time to time. Like, we'd come back a couple times a year to Newton to visit my family. And listen, I don't mean this to be overly critical towards our town or anything like that, but it seemed like every time we came back, it's like you could visibly see that Newton was experiencing some decline, both economically and spiritually. And so the other thing is that on those trips back here, almost every time we'd come back, we'd go out to a restaurant or we'd go to Walmart, you know, to run an errand. Everywhere we'd go, I just started noticing that there were people everywhere who, not only was it obvious that they were completely disconnected from God, but I would see people who, honestly, it looked like they were completely disconnected from anyone who even cared about their lives. And it broke my heart. And you can still see this. This still breaks my heart. And again, I'm not trying to be overly critical, but at the time, I just didn't see much of a church culture. It seemed like it was doing much to first off, just reach out and be relational with people who are disconnected from God, let alone actually disciple people who are disconnected from God. And so, man, I began to cry out, and I said, God, this should not be. Not in my hometown. I began to ask God, I said, God, would you send Rachel and I back here one day so that we can start doing something about it? So it just so happens on one of those trips, this was in 2012, we were back here visiting family, and Rachel's not originally from Newton, and so every time we would come back here, I would drive her around town, and I call it the Newton tour. I would just show her you know the Newton tour, that's Sonic to Sonic, all right? The high school, my old neighborhood, all that stuff. And so, but we were driving around one night, And I was just dreaming out loud of what it would look like to come back here and plant a church. Just going to be honest, Rachel was not dreaming about that at the time. She was not into it at the time. And so, she's into it now. I think she was kind of trying to convince me as to why we shouldn't move back here at the time. And so she asked me this question. She goes, what would you even want to see happen if we did move back here to plant a church? That's a vision question. And so listen, we did not have the words Newton Reborn at that time. But God did begin to pour out the vision as we were driving around that night. And listen, among many other things, including seeing neighborhoods restored, seeing a boost brought to our economy here in town, this is the thing that I remember first and foremost, God laying on my heart, that we need to see every person in our town have a relationship with Him. And I mean every person. Listen to me, you don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to go to seminary to understand that that's God's will. God wants every person to follow Him, okay? And so it should be our desire as well. Now, do you have your Bibles at 2 Peter this time? Okay, 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 9. And listen, here's what Peter's writing about. He's writing about when the Lord returns, the day that the Lord is going to come back, okay? And so he's writing about some people that were kind of antsy and feeling like God wasn't going to keep that promise, like it was taking too long. But watch this. He says, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise. That's good news. As some understand slowness. He's not slow in the way some people are thinking He's slow. Instead, He's patient with you, and here's why: not wanting anyone to perish, but wanting everyone to come to repentance. Or in other words, he wants everyone to have a relationship with him. Because church, it's when you're in a relationship with Jesus that you actually come to repentance. We say it this way, disciples are to live lifestyles of repentance. And repentance is a huge part of that saved, changed, and on mission lifestyle. When you're living a life of repentance, it actually attracts more people to the life of Jesus and they want to repent as well. He wants that for everyone. So listen, without vision, people perish. And what did we just read? How many people does God want to keep from perishing? All of them. Every last one of them. He doesn't want a single person to perish. And so thank you, Jesus, for your patience with our city. And thank you, Jesus, for giving us a vision big enough and comprehensive enough to include every person in it. That's why I make statements like this on a regular basis. I say, I'm just crazy enough to believe that all 20,000-ish people here in our town could actually have a relationship with Jesus. But listen, it's not about being crazy. It's really about having faith. Believing that God is who he says he is and that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And so here's the thought. Okay, God, if you're the one who came up with this vision, if you're the one who gave it to us, then we're going to believe that you're just mighty enough to actually see it come to pass. We're going to do what you tell us. And so, church, here's some really good insight. Here's how you can begin to understand if your vision is from God or if you just made it up yourself. Can you accomplish it on your own? Or are you going to have to rely on God to do the thing that he's calling you to do? So, I've got good news. There ain't no way we could ever see Newton Reborn on our own. God is going to have to show up, okay? That vision is huge. But listen to me, here's more good news. God loves showing up with and in and through you and me when his people know from the get-go, when they rely on him from the get-go to do the very thing that he has called them to do. He loves it. He'll show up every time. And so here's my encouragement to all of us. Let's commit together to be crazy faithful. Let's honor God together by embracing this huge vision that God has given to us. Listen, if God doesn't want anyone to perish, then let's not insult God and let's not waste our time with some teeny weeny little weak sauce vision. No, you need to believe if God doesn't want anyone to perish, then he doesn't want a single person in Newton, Kansas to go to hell. He wants to do something about it. So we are aiming for every person. We want to see every person revived, rebuilt, and renewed by Jesus for his glory. Are you with me on that? As I'm telling you, I'm pouring out my heart for how much I can't stand seeing people disconnected from God. We know God doesn't want anyone to be disconnected from him. What about you? What's your heart really like for the people around you, people in your life all around you right now? And how can you know what your heart's really like? Okay, here's a good way to begin to understand. How are you demonstrating with real action what's going on in your heart? We've all heard the phrase, talk is cheap, right? Yeah, what are you actually doing to follow Jesus and do what he wants you to do? And so look, on one hand, yes, our lives would all be much easier and less complicated and simpler and cleaner if it wasn't for people. Can I get an amen? I mean, church would be so easy if it wasn't for all of us, right? Right, man, people are messy. And you and I are too though, right? We're all broken. Some of us just get a little bit better at manicuring our brokenness than others. But we're all broken. And listen, but church, even the most broken among us here in our town, you got to understand me, they're still image bearers of the living God. And I want this to be at the root, at the core of the gathering's DNA. I can't help it. Listen to me. When I see people, no matter how broken, no matter how they look all around our town, I can't help but seeing Jesus-sized potential in everybody. I can't help but just seeing, man, if they would just begin to discover how much God loves them, and if they could just begin to start loving God back, then I'm telling you, there's nothing that could stop them. The potential in Jesus is endless, okay? And so listen, if you call this place home, I want you to begin to have that heart for other people. Okay, and so you need to know this, church. I refuse to see anything less than Jesus-sized potential in you. You may not be able to see it in yourself, but I'm telling you, I see it. I believe in you. You are an image bearer of the living God. He created you for glorious purposes. And I'm telling you, if you will begin to accept the fact that your God loves you endlessly, and if you'll simply begin to love him back, begin to let that stuff get demonstrated in real time, I'm telling you, nothing's impossible in your life. And you can live the dream that God has for you. Before we launched the gathering, I was talking with one of my pastors. He was mentoring me about what it would look like to plant a church. And I told him, I said, I want to plant a church that actually makes disciples. And so he said this to me. He asked a really remarkable question. He said, Brandon, do you know where discipleship breaks down in most churches? I said, no, I do not, Pastor Steve. This is why I'm hanging out with you. You are smarter than me. Please tell me. And so he said this. He said, Brandon, discipleship breaks down in most churches when the people of the church refuse to have, you know that guy? You know that guy? When they refuse to have that guy in their living room. Okay, you need to listen to me. It's when they actually refuse to be relational with other people who truly need a relationship with Jesus. And so, can I tell you something? That conversation right there planted the seeds for why we do neighborhood gatherings here at the gathering, for why they're such a massive part of who we are as a church family. So picture this. We meet together in neighborhood gatherings. We meet together in living rooms. We do eat, story, pray. We eat a meal together. We have a Bible story. We talk about it together. We pray together. And through it all, listen, come on, we make disciples as we're also becoming disciples of Jesus in a highly relational environment. We are relational together. By the way, if you're not in a neighborhood gathering yet, you need to be. Go to Connect. We will plug you into one, all right? Because listen to me, Newton Reborn, it starts right here. It starts with and in and through you and me, which then leads to my second point, all right? Newton Reborn is all about our city. Newton Reborn is all about our city. Church, we want to see the city itself revived, rebuilt, and renewed by Jesus too. Here's what I'm convinced of. As God's people, we have a responsibility. As God's people, we have a responsibility to steward well the things that Jesus has entrusted to our care. And so listen to me, if every person in this town is becoming a disciple of Jesus, then I can't help but think that the very city we inhabit, the resources that we all have that God has entrusted to our care, I can't help but think that those things are going to be reborn at the very same time. Come on, here's what I'm talking about. Here's what I'm saying. What happens to a city itself? The buildings, the structures, the homes, the neighborhoods, the parks, the theaters. What happens to those things when the people of God begin to take care of them and steward them for the glory of God? Listen, here's what's going to happen. You're going to see a city made brand new. It's going to shine brightly for the goodness of God. Actual neighborhoods will be restored. Everything from old sidewalks to broken down houses to buildings that were crumbling like the Fox Theater. They'll get restored. They'll get put to good use. New businesses will pop up. New restaurants will pop up like amazing brick oven pizza restaurants and amazing coffee bars. Hallelujah. Church family, we might even see Chuck's Familia come back. That's for the old school Newton people right there. Two pork chili quesadillas with cheese, please. Don't forget that cheese dip either. Hallelujah. We would just walk down the block and all eat lunch together at church after church, right? Man. All right, but listen, I really think we could begin to see our economy thrive here in this town. I mean, is it just me, or does anyone else believe that churches, if they're actually following God, should be able to play a significant role in bringing about a meaningful and positive impact on their local economy? I really think that can happen, church. And you can see this in Acts chapter 2. Listen, as the disciples continued to make more and more disciples, as God added to their number daily, it said there wasn't a needy person among them. So I'm telling you, that poverty cycle, a curse that so many people here in our town live under, it will be broken. You want to know what I see? I see families renewed. I see moms and dads sticking together. I see moms and dads loving each other. I see them loving the opportunity they have to raise their kids together. I see dads owning up to and loving the responsibility that dads have to lead and take care of and love and pastor their own families well. Man, I see neighborhoods restored. I see crime and divorce and unwed pregnancy rates and addiction rates going down with graduation rates going up. I see dignity restored to people. I see new restaurants. I see new businesses. I see baptisms. I see Bible stories. I see block parties. This theater that we're in here right now, I see this thing completely reborn and put to good use to be a blessing to our entire city. I see it revived, rebuilt, and renewed, and it's shining brightly in the center of our city as a beacon for the goodness of God, attracting people to the heart of Jesus and the reborn life that only He can give. I see a physical demonstration of that in and through this building. And listen, when that's done, we're not just going to keep mowing lawns on 6th Street. We're going to rebuild the entire block. We're going to call it the 6th Street District. We're all going to want to move there. Just listen to me, just like when the Spirit of God infiltrates the heart of a man and he is reborn from the inside out, this city's gonna be reborn from the inside out. God has called us here for a purpose, and listen, through it all, I see a church family. Not just a church community, but a real family. A people for other people to belong to. I see actual disciples of Jesus making more disciples of Jesus. I see people living the dream life. And so I see a spontaneous multiplication of disciples here in our town where, yes, then 20,000 people end up giving their lives to Jesus. Church, Jesus is here right now. He's changing everything. I see Newton reborn, a people in their city, revived, rebuilt, and renewed by Jesus for His glory. And I'm telling you, it begins right here. Thank you, Jesus. We are so lucky. Begins right here, with and in and through this church family. Has He called you here? Well, I'm telling you, if He's called you here, His dream for your life, at least part of it, is for you to play a significant role in helping see this vision that He has given His church come to pass. So, which leads to my last point, real quick. Listen to me. Newton Reborn includes you. Newton Reborn includes you. Has God called you to the gathering? Is this your church home? If the answer is yes, He's inviting you to play your part to see this vision come to pass. Listen, yes, 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 in taking the discipleship steps that we have for you here for you to grow as a disciple of Jesus. Okay, yes, in taking those steps. But listen to me, here's the other way your life is included in Newton Reborn. Every time you take a step toward Jesus, your very life then embodies this vision. Okay, here's what I mean. As your life is transformed by Jesus, let me say it this way, as your own life is Newton Reborn. You got me? As your own life is Newton Reborn, God's going to use the Newton Reborn that keeps happening in you to attract other people to Him, and He's going to do Newton Reborn in and through them. Hashtag Newton Reborn. Man, listen, every step you take towards Jesus, every salvation that happens here, every baptism we celebrate, every new person that goes through Connect and then gets plugged into a neighborhood gathering, every time you open up your heart in that neighborhood gathering, every time you show up with Team Reborn and you do your thing to help create an environment where other people can show up and begin to build a relationship with Jesus, every tithe, every offering, every lawn mowed on 6th Street, every piece of tile that got laid back there. Well, every bit of it, every time you show up with us here and you sing your heart out to Jesus, every time you show up in your secret place with Jesus and Jesus works in your heart, every time you share the love of Jesus with somebody around you, church family, all of it, it's all more Newton reborn. It's your life. It's my life. It's our city being revived, rebuilt, and renewed by Jesus for his glory. And so I'm telling you, I could not be more proud of you. I could not be more happy that Jesus has called us together to be a church family. And so listen, it's no accident that you're here. God has brought you here. And he is always, always giving you an invitation for you to draw closer to him. And for so that your life can continue to be reborn in every way, but also that, so that he can show up in and through your life. So that Newton Reborn can happen in and through you as well, so that you can play a significant role in seeing this vision come to pass. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray together. Come on, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? You don't have to say anything out loud right now, but listen, is anybody getting fired up in their heart for what God wants to do? Come on, can you begin to get a glimpse of the future God's wanting to lead us, including you, into? What's your next step? What's the next step God would have you take? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? For your involvement. Has he called you here to this church? If he has, come on, then what's the next step for your involvement, for the part that God is calling you to play in seeing this vision come to pass? We are not just here to play church together. Thank you, Jesus. We love you too much, church, just to play church together. God has a purpose for your life. What step towards him do you need to take? And some of you guys keep taking steps. I love it. You're growing like crazy. I just know this, man. Jesus is, until he comes again, he's always got more for us. So what if our heart is, yes, Lord, I want the next thing. I want what you have for me. I'm willing to do, or I'm willing to continue to be faithful in this thing that you called me to right now. Do you need to go to Connect? Do you need to show up for the second session of Connect today? Man, don't miss that. Do you need to be more consistent in the neighborhood gathering? Do you need to, man, has it been a week since we finished that Secret Life series and you need to get back in the secret place with Jesus? Here's the invitation. Let's commit together. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? And what if we just commit to him together right now? God, I'm going to do what you are calling me to do. I really want to push this around here. Maybe you're like a once a month person here at the gathering right now, or maybe it's a twice a month thing. Man, grace. But what if you, I'm going to meet you where you're at. What if you start to consistently make it three times? Well, that's a big next step. What if you take that? Jesus, I thank you for this church family. I thank you for what you have called us to. I thank you for what you are doing in and through us. I thank you, Lord, that we don't just have to play church, that you have called us to a glorious future. I thank you that your vision is comprehensive enough and big enough to include every person in this town. And so we refuse to give up. We refuse to just say, oh, it's too slow in coming to pass. We're in it for the long haul. And Lord, we know that the journey is such a beautiful thing, that in the process, you are doing Newton Reborn in our lives. Lord, you're changing and transforming us. We say we want everything that you have in mind, and we commit together. Just commit, say, come on, God, I'm going to do this thing that you're telling me to do. I'm going to take this next step. Thank you, Jesus, for every commitment being made right now. Thank you, Lord. Help us to follow through. Help us to continue to become the people you have in mind. And Lord, use us. We want to see this city reborn. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And my whole church family said, amen. Amen, church family. Come on, can we thank God for what he's doing in this place? Thank you, Jesus. You are so good.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.